Good evening. Could I have you turn to 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come before you. We just ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Lord. And ask that you would just see fit to use me to expound your word. And I just ask that you would help us not be distracted. And we just ask that your word would be proclaimed. And we just thank you for all that you have given us. And we just ask for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So have you ever tried finding your way around in a dark room? Or have you ever tried finding your way around outside in the dark? It's very difficult to see in the dark. I remember when I was a child going hunting with my dad for wild pigs. And we had to go at night. And our eyes had to adjust to the dark. And it takes a while, but it happens. You can see, you know, trees and stuff. And my responsibility was to run the spotlight. And being a kid, I didn't hold to that responsibility very well because I was only supposed to shine the light if we saw pigs, and they'd freeze if you hit them with the light. Well, every about 5 minutes or so, I'd be turning the light on and blinding us all, you know, so we'd lose our night vision completely, and so we couldn't see. But that's what happens when you turn on light. It shines in the darkness, and it can be blinding to us. Light is powerful, it illuminates, it gives life, and it casts out darkness. Beloved, we are in darkness without Christ. We thrive in darkness. We stumble and fall, and yet we think we are perfectly fine. We couldn't be happier living in our own dark little worlds. But praise God that it's not where we are left. God sent his Son to be the light of the world, to bring us forth out of darkness into light. Looking at this chapter, we will see that Christ brings us into a relationship with God. John starts out here that this Christ that we speak of was from the beginning. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Here we see the central event of history take place, the advent of eternal life in Jesus Christ. John is one of the chosen witnesses who saw, heard, and touched the Son of God, who existed from the beginning and whose eternal fellowship with the Father is now extended to those who trust in the Son alone for salvation. John tells us that this word of life was manifested, as John 1:14 said, he's come in the flesh, and that they, the apostles, had seen and heard and handled this eternal life, as we can see from the text we just read. This is very important that we understand this. John repeats the fact that they had seen and heard three different times, but each time it's used in the perfect tense of the word. The perfect tense in Greek is a completed action in past time with present results. So when he says that they had seen and heard, it had an impact on them at that moment when they were walking with Christ, and that is still with them now as he's speaking to us. He still has that fresh in his mind. So why then is he telling us this? John, being an eyewitness of the Son of God, must proclaim these truths to us. As it says in Acts 4:20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." He had no other choice. He had seen the Son of God along with the other apostles. That was their duty, was to go out and proclaim God's word. They were witnesses. They ate with Christ. They talked with Christ. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. They saw him crucified. They saw him risen from the dead. He had no other choice but to proclaim God's word to the people of that time and to us now. In order for us to understand the light and the darkness, John must press upon us to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way that we may have communion with God. John desires that we may know Christ so that we may have fellowship with him and with the Father, and that our joy may be full. His desire is that we would no longer walk in darkness, but that we would be reconciled to God. Our joy will never be full as long as we continue on in sin. We will always desire more, looking for the next thing to satisfy our selfish appetite. Just as John desires that we have fellowship with Christ, so does the Son himself when he prayed in John 17:20 and 21. It says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Also, in 1 John 2:24 and 25, "Therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." We have fellowship with Christ. We will be walking in the light, and our joy will be full. For we will no longer be tripping and falling and stumbling around the darkness. Christ is holy. He is righteous. And his blood was shed to redeem sinners. Unless we are trusting in Christ for our salvation, which means that we understand that we have no hope of salvation unless Christ draws us out of our sins, out of darkness, and we repent and believe that Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God, where he makes intercession for us. And one day will return to judge the wicked and the redeemed. And to one he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And to the other he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, as found in Matthew 25. We cannot be in the light as long as we cling to the darkness. There's a song growing up that was one of my favorites, and one of the verses in it said, the disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. And the thing is, we're never going to be rid of this sickness. We're not going to come out of the darkness on our own. We enjoy being in the dark. Our natural state is in darkness, and we're completely oblivious to it. We're dead man walking. Unless Christ opens our eyes and draws us out of death into life, the darkness doesn't bother us. And that's really the sad part, that we have no remorse about our actions. No, to sin is just, that's just how it is. Like, we have that night vision that I talked about earlier. We've become accustomed to seeing the dark, ugly things in our lives, and it has no effect on us unless Christ opens our eyes. So what is it that shows us that we are in darkness in the first place? How are we to know that we are even in darkness? Hopefully, you're holding in your hands the Word of God. The Word of God, which contains the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It shows us that we are dead in our sins. But isn't it great that that's not the end of the story? That's not all it does. Because here it would be so sad if that's all it was just more to say, look, here's God, you've sinned against him, that's it, you're done. But that's not the end. It goes on. John says, it just doesn't show us that we are in darkness, but it goes on to tell us about the light. John says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In John 12:46, it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. All life and growth depend on light. So all spiritual life and growth depends on God. We must be watchful, beloved, because even though we may have new life in Christ, John warns us that we must not deceive ourselves. In verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Even though we have a new life in Christ, we can still deceive ourselves by saying that, well, I'm a Christian, so everything's fine. I don't need to worry about, I can still go on sinning because now I've put my trust in Christ. While we still cling to our old self, we cling to our selfish desires, and we hold on to our old wants and just barely have a glimpse of that light of Christ. We see it kind of flickering in our lives instead of letting it shine forth brightly. I'm not saying that we're not saved, but that we must continually be vigilant not to fall back into darkness. That we must be watchful and make sure that we've put the darkness out of our lives. That we cling to Christ, because He's the only one that can save us. But how do we do that? How do we deal with the temptation? How do we keep the darkness out of our life? It's the same way that Christ dealt with the devil when he was tempted. He used God's word to defeat the enemy. And the only way we're going to do that is by reading God's word. We have to read the Bible. We have to ingest God's word. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to stand in the darkness. We have to have it in our hearts and in our minds to be able to proclaim His word and to fight off the attacks of the enemy. So reading God's word, we feed on spiritual food. We must walk in the light as He is in the light, so we may have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if we're taking in God's word and we're dwelling on the things of God, that's when we can have communion with God. That's when we are in communion with the Father. Christ is what bridges the gap between us and God. He brings us out of darkness into light, back into a right relationship with the Father. And that's the fellowship, the koinonia that John's talking about. He wants us to be able to have the fellowship not only with himself and other believers, but with Christ and the Father. And then at the tail end of that verse 7 there, he says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And he says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. Jesus Christ has shed His blood for us, died to wash us from the guilt of all sin, both original and actual, inherent and committed. And because of this, we can stand righteous in His sight. It always brings to mind the hymn, you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. John continues on to say that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The denial of our sins not only deceives us, but it reflects dishonor on God. Basically, we're calling God a liar. We're saying, in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. So if we turn around and say, well, I don't sin, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. God knows you sin. God sees everything. And we can't walk in fellowship with God if we're going to hide our sins and try to keep them in secret and be like, well, this is okay. God doesn't see this. Yet still try to have fellowship with Him. It doesn't work that way. It reflects dishonor on God, for we are calling Him a liar. As verse 10 says, also, note that, it says, just because we are Christians, we still struggle with sin on a daily basis. As Pastor pointed out in one of his earlier sermons, we're supposed to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. It's an ongoing battle. That's why we have in other places in Scripture talking about the whole armor of God. We have to be prepared. We can't go into battle without having the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith. All these attribute to us walking in the light. Note that John does not say, "You say you have no sin." He doesn't exclude himself from this group. He says, "We." He says, "If we say we have no sin." He's an apostle. He was there with Jesus. It doesn't exclude him from sinning, though. Just because he saw Jesus, he ate bread with Jesus, says John leaned on his breast, he was close to Jesus. And so he puts himself in there with us. At the same time, he says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. In verse 9, he says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's important that we go to Christ and confess our sins. We have to get washed by his blood. Psalm 32:5 says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Therefore, we must walk in the light, not in darkness. In order to do this, we must call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. Like I said before, we're not getting out of the darkness on our own. There's no, "I'm going to be so good that I'm just going to, bam, I'm there in the light with God." It's only by his grace, his mercy, his compassion on us that draws us up out of our death into life. And how is it that this happens? At the end of Peter's sermon back in Acts, it says that they were cut to the heart after hearing his words. And they asked Peter, "What shall we do? How can we bring this change about in our lives?" And in Acts 2:38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So when God calls us, when he draws us out of darkness, we need to repent. We need to turn from our ways. We need to turn from what's comfortable and go into what may not be so comfortable for us. Because we're pretty comfortable in our darkness. We're pretty comfortable with our habits of sin. And it's easy to think that we can keep them hidden from God. But we can't. We have to do just as Peter says. We have to repent. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. If we want to have fellowship with Christ, we have to put to death the old man and become the new creation. And being the light, walking in the light, that should affect not only our lives, but it should affect the lives of all those around us. If we are walking in fellowship with Christ, we should have an impact on those that we come in contact with. They should be able to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus through us. We should reflect Christ to them. They should be able to see Christ without having to say, hey, are you a Christian? They should be able to see from our actions and our deeds that we are truly living for Christ. They shouldn't be able to go and tell 30 jokes and have us laugh at them. They shouldn't have our Christian witness be destroyed just because we want to fit in. We don't want to fall back into that darkness. We want to leave that behind. So we must walk in the light, not in darkness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Son. We thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in darkness. We thank you that that wasn't the end of our story, that you didn't leave us to be damned, but that you brought us out of death into life. We just ask that you would help us to walk in the light, Lord. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and with each other. Help us to live for you each day. And help us to let your light shine in our community. And Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord, and just watch over us as we leave this place. And Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.